Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine. And we are also a publishing company that does a number of book collaborations. Our latest collaboration is called Essential Healing for the Spirit and Soul. And it's essentially a group of authors that are spiritual healers, spiritual practitioners, from all different areas and walks of spirituality. And I'm very excited about this because it's a great book to help people who maybe are on a spiritual journey, and will help them get to know other people who have gone down the same path and actually made this their life's work now. And I'm excited today to have on the phone with me Lisa Crofton. She is a spiritual intuitive, a life mastery coach, and soul realignment practitioner, as well as a Reiki master teacher. She is the co-founder of the Bloom Life Mastery Coach Training School in Southington, Connecticut, and runs Lotus Moon Studios, which is a holistic healing center. Lisa offers unique intuitive life mastery coaching for private clients and groups, as well as online teaching programs and retreats. Combining 30 years of entrepreneurial experience, holistic healing training certifications, and tapping into her own intuitive methods, Lisa guides others to discover their soul's blueprint and follow the unique path that lights their life on fire. So welcome, Lisa. We're happy to have you today.
Thank you, Diane. It's great to be here.
Awesome. So I love doing these calls because I think it's so interesting and exciting for people to actually hear the authors speak live about their journey and, you know, what kind of things happened to you in your life that to lead you down this path. And you are probably one of the best examples coming from a very corporate entrepreneurial background, I guess, for many years, and now doing what you do as an intuitive and a healer is almost the opposite end of the spectrum, I think.
It's very opposite.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a lot of people out there that might be in a place where you were years ago, kind of, you know, either in a corporate job or doing something entrepreneurial, but not really happy, but kind of just going through the motions. And it's very scary, I think, to try to make a leap, even though your intuition might be telling you that that's the next step and this is where you need to go. So I wanted people to just hear a little bit from you about, you know, your journey to becoming a healer, life events that prompted it, and basically how you made the decision that that's what you were going to move towards.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think that once we do take this journey and once we land where we really are supposed to be, we start to attract people into our lives that are now where we used to be. So many, many, and most of my clients are all where I used to be. So just as you said, people are all walking these paths, perhaps non-enjoyment and doing the practical thing, and many of them know that there's another path for them. They feel it, they hear it, they know they're supposed to be somewhere else, but they just don't know how to step out of what feels right or practical or what they think they should be doing and step out of that life and into the one they really know or want. And I was definitely there. And I think that a lot of this goes back to the way we are raised. And, you know, for me, I was a typical firstborn, and not just firstborn in my immediate family, but firstborn on both sides of my family. And on my dad's side, I was the first girl in 65 years. So I literally came into my family, you know, completely celebrated. And so I landed in this family that had these enormous expectations for me. So I let that typical life of feeling I needed to be perfect in all areas, and I fell right into that trap, and I lived it. So I could never really be just who I wanted to be. I had to be who everybody expected me to be. And I bought that, hook, line, and sinker. And if I stepped out of line in any way, which just meant if I failed someone or I hurt someone's feelings or I didn't live up to my own self-imposed expectations of perfection, I could beat myself up for months. So it was, I made it harder than it needed to be. But there was this side of me that knew I had this intuitive ability and this need to do something different. I had this very artistic and creative side. And several times during my lifetime, I stepped into it and I almost went all the way. But I pulled back because it was scary for other people in my life. it was risky, and it would bring us off kilter. And so I kept pulling back, and I kept denying that really true side to me, and it almost killed me. So I was at a place in my life where I was trying to do both, because I thought that I could do the impossible. I thought, well, you know what? I'll do this on the side until it builds into this great thing, and then I can prove to everybody that it can actually work. But what I was doing was really literally putting in, 90, 100 hours a week trying to balance both. And I was trying to kind of keep everybody, the wolves, at bay. And physically, my body was taking a toll, and I was lying to myself about what I could really accomplish and do. And so I was listening to the other side of my life saying, no, no, you have to stay over here and do the right thing, the practical thing, and keep everybody happy. And physically, my body was saying, no, you can't. And one day, the piper came, and I just, I collapsed. And there was no going back after that. When I had my grandma's seizure, I was at a place where I was literally trying to leave my old life. I was literally trying to go, and I'd given my notice and said, nope, I'm going to go do my creative life. I'm going to go do the things I really want to be doing. And I was sort of had one foot in that life and one foot in my new life, but my family wasn't quite ready for it yet. And I was still listening to the pressure of my family, not quite trusting that I would be able to make it. And I was listening to that, not listening to the call of my soul. And so when that pressure became too hard, my body said, well, you can't make up your mind, so we're going to make it for you. And that's really, truly what I believe happened. And so the day I had that seizure, there was no going back. I couldn't go back to my old life. It was too high pressure. It was too demanding. And I had to slow down. I was forced to slow down. So it took a good year of recovery and a good year of reflection and grief and telling the truth internally. So after that, I had to really look at the way I was treating my life. I had to look at the way I cared for myself. I had to look at the way I listened. I had to look at the way I was sort of playing things out. And part of that was to look back and go, every time I really listened to me, every time I listened to my creative self, every time I listened to my own truth, what happened? And when I did, I was quite successful, and life became easy. And when I didn't, I struggled.
Mm-hmm.
So as I took all those examinations and really sat quietly and figured out what went right when it went right, the path became clear. And as I started to realize that during those times when things did get nice and clear and easy, it was because I was really staying connected to my divine self, that I allowed my inner wisdom to come through, that I trusted my own feelings and thinking, and I didn't second-guess myself. And I've always been a fairly confident person, but I was also pleasing people. I was always trying to live up to that image that I thought everybody wanted from me, that made me feel safe and it made me feel loved, and I realized at some point that that's how I was loving myself. That I didn't understand how I could be loved without being perfect. So that was a huge step for me, is to realize I could just be, and it'd be okay, and I'm okay, and I'm enough, just in being. And so that was the first step. And so in my work today, that's what I help people to see, is that they are enough, just how they are, every day, no matter what they're doing and where they are. So the process for me was amazing, and it took quite a while to get there piece by piece, but it was my own inner healing that had to happen. And how I came into healing work was really quite organic. I'm sort of a natural teacher, so I always teach what I learn. And so as I learned to heal myself, the process was quite natural. I just wanted other people to be able to heal the way I did. And, so the first healing was, healing that physical body, and then it went into healing my emotional body. And once I healed that emotional body, the next step really came quite naturally, and my spiritual body just went with it. And so now I've become quite open and in teaching what I've learned, and now taking people from healing that physical aspect, which is quite connected to that emotional aspect, and now that emotional aspect opens you up spiritually. And when you connect all three of those levels, your physical, emotional, and your soul level, and when you align the three, your life just starts to happen with ease, and you find yourself on the path you were always meant to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Your story is a perfect example of how you can actually call in a physical effect from not following your soul purpose.
Absolutely. You know, it's really funny. I actually said these words to the universe when I was in that really deep crisis point when I had one foot in and one foot out. My company was still trying to hang on to me. So much so that when I gave my notice, they counteroffered. And I kept thinking to myself, can't they just let me go?
Right.
And they made such an amazing counteroffer, I couldn't say no. But I was smart enough to say, listen, I'll do this on a trial basis. So I'd given my notice in January, and I said to them, I'm going to try this through May. And if it works out, I'll talk about extending my contract. So it was beginning of April, and April was always a really busy time for me. And they called me in and set up this luncheon, and they said to me, you know, this is working out really well for us. Do you think you could extend your trial period till September? And I said out loud, this is why we always want to be careful what we say to the universe. I said, you know, April is always my busiest month, so if I don't drop by the end of April, I'll think about considering this till September. And 2 weeks later, I had that grandma seizure.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Really working for me. Yeah, you know, you got to be careful what you say out loud. So.
Yeah, some would say you asked for it.
Yeah, exactly. Be careful what you ask for. So I didn't say, I left. And, you know, I had to do, you know, the ironic part, too, you know, I'm a writer, and I'm a speaker and a teacher, and the part of my brain that was affected during that time was writing and language and memory and words. So they weren't messing around. You know, I had to shut down.
Right.
And I had to start from scratch and really do some soul searching, and you know, my soul was the primary leader in this healing process, and so I had to stop. And it wasn't easy. It was, you know, I went through all the normal stages because I really had to grieve the whole me that I used to be. And I realized that I wasn't going back there. And I had to come back in a whole different way. And so that healing process was step by step by step.
I was just going to say, I'm sure that, you know, people listening to your story or reading your story would say, oh my God, that is so frightening and devastating. And I couldn't imagine that happening to me. I would never wish that on my own worst enemy. But you would probably say that it was one of the best things that happened to you.
It was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I don't think I would have stopped. I think I would have kept going and going, thinking that I was pleasing everybody around me, that I was doing the right thing, that, you know, that this was in everybody else's best interest, and, you know, my expectations were the driving force. And I don't think that I would have stopped. I don't think that, you know, if I hadn't been forced to, it might not have worked. And I had a really dear friend at the time say the words to me, you know, sometimes if you don't listen to the guidance being given to you, you're going to get forced to listen. And I see it happening all around me now. So, you know, I so appreciate the fact that it happened the way it did. You know, my doctor now says to me, I wish all my patients could reach where you're at. If I'm almost completely off my meds, and in fact, we're about to do some testing that may take me completely off the drugs. I've not had another seizure in all this time, and I do extremely well. So I think, you know, I am grateful for all of the healing methods I've been taught and all the healing methods I practice. When you lead a healing lifestyle, I remember every time I used to have to go back to the doctor every 6 months, my neurologist, and he'd say to me, how are you doing? And I'd say, I'm doing great. And he'd say, how are you doing this? And I'd say, I changed my lifestyle. I said, I live a healing lifestyle. And, you know, he'd look at me a little skeptically, but every 6 months I'd get stronger and stronger and stronger. And we just had the greatest conversation at my last visit. And he just kind of threw his pen down and put his folders down on his desk and threw his hands behind his head. And he said, So tell me more. And I thought it was fascinating because most doctors just don't want to hear about alternative methods and holistic practices, but he's very supportive.
So, that's great.
You know, yeah, we had a really great conversation, and, you know, what I see in my practice and between, you know, mastery coaching and combining it with healing methods, the outcomes are just wonderful because people are involved in their own healing. They're involved in their own success, and that's what we need to do. Nobody's going to do it for us. We have to understand that our bodies have these innate healing abilities. And and we come here with a blueprint. But when we stray off that blueprint so far, of course we're going to be off kilter. We're going to be off balance. We just have to listen, and we have to find out what that is and what we were meant to do. And when you're aligned with what you're here for, it all falls into place.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the different modalities that you practice, because I'm sure people are very interested to learn more about, you know, what you do. And you, I know you have a lot of things in your repertoire, but maybe if you just want to focus on, well, I'll let you decide. You know, whatever it is you want to tell people that you do and how you were kind of led to get into that and just give them, an idea of if someone were to be your client or come see you and what kind of experience they would have.
My clients, a typical client for me would be somebody who sort of knows that they're living their life off balance and, you know, they're experiencing a lot of frustration and anxiety and they know that there's something more for them and they've reached a level of dissatisfaction in their life and they have, you know, a level of intuition they know has always been there and they're ready to listen. But they just don't know how to get there. They just don't know what the steps are. And so, a visit with me sort of entails kind of examining the expectations that you've had your whole life and these belief systems that are ingrained, that are creating these expectations that you're living by, but that may not really serve you anymore. And so it's a start, that's the process. You start looking at those and you start saying, well, what's creating all of this imbalance and angst in your daily life? What holds you back? So we're looking for blocks. And we start trying to remove them. And then there are methods that help you to start to remove them. So we don't just wake up one day and go, well, we don't want those anymore, so we're going to get rid of them. There are lots of methods to helping you, and they're practical, easy methods. And some of this is, starts with our self-awareness. And so a lot of us are just sort of walking around unconsciously living. Now, whatever happens to us, that's how we talk about it. We go, it's happening to us. And that's just not true. We're bringing things into our life by the way we believe. So we've got what we call inhibiting beliefs. So, for instance, if we grew up in a household where everybody was always fighting about money, then we've got an ingrained inhibiting belief that money is inherently negative or scarce or difficult, challenging. And so we always believe that money is hard to find. But if we grew up in a household where money was never an issue and it was just a matter of flow, then we don't think about money as a problem, and it's always easy to find in our lives. So we have to uncover belief systems that are ingrained like that in our lives. Or, you know, we hear people say things like, well, I'm happy now, but it's not going to last.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, why would that be? Because we've grown up in a household where we heard all the time, oh, well, happiness is cyclical. You know, it just comes and it goes. It's the best. So don't hang on to anything. Or we might believe that happiness isn't really for us. We have to deserve happiness. And so if that's one of our inhibiting beliefs, if that's an ingrained belief system, we're always looking for that thing to take happiness away because happiness is conditional. You know, I'll be happy if I get this job. I'll be happy if everybody in my family's happy. I'll be happy if I can just get rid of these 25 pounds. I'll be happy if I get the house of my dreams. So when we learn that happiness is indeed not something that comes to you, it comes from you, then our view of happiness changes completely. So when I'm working privately or in groups with people, we work on finding out and discovering and uncovering and releasing all these belief systems that kind of hold us back and stand in our way like a big wall.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to really examine and look at what our spiritual beliefs are with our faith. You know, what do we believe in? Are we, you know, walking through the world trying to fix everything ourselves? Or, you know, do we understand that we've got help, that we have a system? You know, we have to be in touch with our divinity because we're really just, you know, we're here trying to live our lives now. Our souls are trying to experience themselves. So how do we figure that out? How do we align ourselves with that? Or do we just, you know, let our ego do all the talking all the time? So there's so much that goes into realigning ourselves and, you know, feeling that path just sort of form in front of us with ease. And it's because we can.
Right.
But we do so much struggle because we don't really understand it. We're not aware of everything in front of us. So it all starts with the self-awareness process. And I am a great believer in the Four Agreements, and I've been practicing the Four Agreements for over 10 years. So I have a Toltec background, and that comes from Don Miguel Ruiz, that wonderful book. I know many people are aware of that now, and I always recommend that my clients start by reading that book. It's a beautiful, easy code of conduct that starts to help you understand how you're talking to yourself and other people, you know, how many things you take emotionally, personally, you know, how many assumptions we make every day without actually clarifying or communicating anything, and, you know, how are we committed to doing our best, or do we just, you know, kind of let life go that happened to us. So there's so many pieces to this coaching practice that lead me into then offering some energy healing. We are all energy, and we say it without even realizing that we're admitting that we're energy. So we often hear people say, "Oh, I wish I had more energy," or "Well, I wish I had the energy of that 5-year-old," or, you know, "I'm out of energy." And we don't realize that we are admitting that we are energy, and so our energy gets blocked by some of the things that we create in our thinking patterns and in our emotional body. So when we're creating those things, we actually physically block all the flow, the beautiful flow of energy in our bodies, and that starts to create those physical manifestations. So when I see in my clients that we've got some issues there, then I go to my energy training, my energy healing, and whether it's angel energy healing, which is a beautiful white light healing, which is pure and significantly strong, which lifts and cleanses blockages and negative things in the body, without getting too detailed. That's a beautiful energy practice, and I also combine that with my Reiki practice, which is a hands-on energy healing, and beautiful for relaxation and allowing the body to go back into a state of homeostasis, which gives us the best possible chance for healing ourselves. So I do a little bit of combination there. And then when we're talking about soul realignment, this is really giving people an idea of what their souls are all about, what they're what's been happening with their soul, and what their best energy centers are, and what their frequencies are, and what their soul is meant to do. So their soul blueprint, so many different things go into that, and that's a little bit more detailed, but that's a different kind of a reading. And so we're really talking about lining up those three energetic layers of the body, the physical, the emotional, and the soul level, and bringing it whole.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So for people that are thinking about possibly, you know, changing careers or going into energy healing or spiritual work, a couple of questions for you. I think the healing field is growing very quickly now. I mean, it seems like just more and more people are, like you were explaining with your doctor, I mean, so many more what I would say traditional medical people are becoming open to, we call them alternative forms of healing, but in my mind, traditional medicine is an alternative form of healing. Because we're talking about things that, that have been around for thousands of years, yet we in this country call them alternatives.
I think you're right about that, because I think we're just going back to what we did best.
Exactly. Yep. So what do you think are some things that you did to make yourself stand apart from other people doing similar types of work, and how did you build a successful practice, and what advice would you give someone thinking about going down this road?
Well, I think the very first thing that I would tell anybody that's looking to go into this type of work is that the first work that has to be done is on yourself. So if you go into this type of practice, you have to become a whole healed person yourself. So all of the work, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, you have to work on yourself first. When we train our coaches in our coaching and training program, we highly recommend that they become, or they go through some sort of a life mastery program or a coach, they be coached first, or they do the work. This is really gut-level work that has to be done, because you can't help another person unless you've healed yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go through it and know what it feels like, and sort of turn yourself inside out to get there. And I'm not saying, go through what I went through to get through it. Hopefully you won't go through a crisis before you have to get there. But be courageous enough to, clear out the anxieties and worries and fears in your life. Because truthfully, even when I go back to what created the problem that I was having, it really comes down to fear. And everything does. Every negative block that you have in your life goes back to fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts. So if you can go through and do the work for yourself first and come out the other side, and then you will find a natural inclination to what kind of healing work that you want to do, whether it's coaching or some sort of energy healing or, even intuitive work. There's a lot of intuitive work that goes into what I do, and you'll know what you want to practice just by going through. Many of my students and clients end up naturally going into some kind of healing work once they've gone through the work on themselves. It's a natural pull. Once we've become completely aligned with who we are, we start naturally wanting to reach out to other people. That's what our souls do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say anybody wanting to get into this field finds it a natural and easy profession once they've done the work on themselves. Everybody's naturally intuitive. Everybody has this. It's just a matter of being aware of it and developing it. And you develop it by doing the work on yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So we've covered a lot. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Before we finish, I definitely want to give you a chance to let people know how they can reach you, whether it's by your website or email or anything that you want to, tell us about what you're doing with your events that are coming up maybe, or coaching practice, or...
Well, I got a couple of things. Our next coaching school session starts in September, and we have a couple of information sessions coming up. One is actually tomorrow night. That might be too soon, so...
Mm-hmm.
The next one is July 22nd here in Southington, and that will tell you all about the requirements and tell you a little bit about the school. So our next Life Mastery Coach Training Certification Program starts in September.
Mm-hmm.
As far as visiting my website, there will be some brand new programs that are going to be coming up on that site within the next month or so. The site is being redone specifically for that purpose. So there'll be some brand new Life Mastery coaching online programs that will be highlighted. Also, I am available for private coaching, both in-person, online, and Skype on phone. So anybody can reach me and inquire about those programs. So please visit me, and we have all kinds of wonderful workshops and programs that cover everything that we talked about today. And what I truly specialize is in making sure that people finally get in touch with really listening to themselves and start to heal themselves from the inside out. And then it is a permanent status once it is done. And I think that's the most special thing about it. It's not a temporary solution. It's a permanent, lifelong solution. And it allows you some really great personal freedom. So my website is www.bonusmoonstudios.com.
Okay, just spell that. So it's lotusmoonstudios.com, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yep, lotusmoonstudios.com. And then if people want to reach you via email or?
They can reach me via email or phone. So the email is lotusmoonreiki@gmail.com.
Okay. Great.
Phone number is 860-637-2393.
Perfect. Well, this has been fantastic. It's been great, you know, talking to you, and I'm sure that everybody listening is fascinated with, you know, your journey and how you came to doing what you're doing, and hopefully people will visit your website and learn a little bit more about you. And I know your courses, I know a couple of you who've been through your Life Mastery training and have just raved about it. So
yeah, it's a great class.
People should check that out. Yeah.
Great.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for having me. It was
great. Oh, thanks. You're welcome. Thank you so much. And everybody who's on the line, Lisa is part of the book collaboration, Essential Healing for the Spirit and Soul, which should be out late summer, early fall of 2016 this year.
Okay.
And thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.